540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. The Northeast is now bracing for more storms following several days of record rains. CBS's Jim Krasula has the latest.
Epic flooding continues across much of New England after a summer's worth of rain in just a few hours. Things are especially bad at Vermont. Governor Phil Scott.
We are not out of the woods. This is nowhere near over. And at this phase, our primary focus continues to be on life and safety before we can shift into a recovery phase.
The damage already in the millions, but President Biden has approved an emergency declaration to get FEMA funds to the state as soon as possible. Meantime, intense heat is baking states from California to Florida. CBS's Omar Villafranca's in Phoenix.
It's just the consistency that people are paying attention to. How many days over 110 degrees? Are they going to get? Yesterday was the 11th day over 110 degrees.
NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg says Ukraine could join the alliance soon.
We will issue an invitation for Ukraine to join NATO when allies agree and conditions are met.
Leaders haven't set a timeline yet, but it welcomed Finland to the alliance earlier this year, and Sweden is up next. One of Charles Manson's followers is now free from prison. Here's CBS's Matt Piper.
The California Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation says Leslie Van Houten was released to parole supervision. It's after she served 53 years of a life sentence for her participation in two infamous murders. Her attorney says the parole will likely last 3 years and says the now 73-year-old hopes to get a job as soon as possible.
A jury in Detroit says a handwritten will left in Aretha Franklin's couch is valid. There were two documents. The difference was over who got the singer's main home in Bloomfield Hills.
Well, we just want to exhale right now. It's been a long 5 years for my family, my children, and we just want to exhale.
Franklin's sons had been fighting over it since her death in 2018. Thousands of hotel workers are back on strike in Southern California, this time closer to Disneyland. Rosa Gutierrez spoke through a translator. She's worked at a Sheraton in Anaheim for almost 40 years.
Las demandas son porque
what we're asking, demanding of the company is to have good benefits
no nos
because they don't want to give good benefits,
no nos a dar
fair wage,
pues,
and fair workload.
Soccer star Lionel Messi is down in Florida now where he's set to sign his mega deal with Inter Miami. It's reportedly worth about $60 million, and he could make his debut there next week. This is CBS News.
Need to hire quality candidates fast? You need Indeed, the end-to-end hiring solution. Attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
For WAUK, The Shaw, I'm Terry Bell, and here's what you need to know. Waukesha parade killer is sentenced in an unrelated case. Daryl Brooks took a plea deal yesterday for possessing a firearm as a convicted felon. He was originally charged with three felonies accused of shooting at his nephew and his nephew's friend 3 years ago. Brooks is serving six consecutive life sentences for his attack on the Waukesha Christmas parade in 2021. Brooks is due back in court next week in another case. He's charged with running over the mother of his children weeks before the parade attack. There's a silent rally planned before tomorrow's Waukesha School Board meeting. The rally is in support of first-grade teacher Melissa Temple, who got in trouble with school district officials for tweeting her concerns about the song Rainbow Land being removed from the higher elementary school spring concert. Superintendent Jim Siebert says Temple's tweet violated district policy. I'm Terry Bell, and this is WAUK News.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes, that's awesome.
Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crute. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on 540 AM WAUK.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Democratic candidates are held to a higher moral standard. I don't see Representative McCarthy calling for George Santos to shamefully leave the halls of Congress. It is never principle above party. It is never principle and policy above person and personal achievement for Republicans.
The Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Isn't that the truth? They say they want their freedom. But is that really the case? I'm not so sure. My name is Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show, and you are listening to Civic Media. Join the conversation today, 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. Really pumped, Evan, because, boy, lots of news. And sales tax news.
It's important.
It's important.
It's important.
And Erica Payne. So that's going to be great. I'm going to be joined again today by my friend, with my friend Erica Payne, who heads up an organization called the Patriotic Millionaires, who has just undertaken what they call the Great Economy Project. And it's a big deal because the core message is you shouldn't be worried about if your neighbor's not sufficiently weeding their lawn if your house is burning down. And in fact, that's the point, right? There's a lot of distraction going on, and it's distraction. So we're not talking about the things that we have in common, which are pretty numerous and pretty basic. But before I get there, you've often heard me talk about performative politics. Of course, there's theater and politics. It's a core element of that. We have orators going back to Greek and Roman times. But when I say performative politics, I don't mean, geez, there's a problem with people who give a good speech or are good, on the handshake lines. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is when politicians engage in behavior and antics that they're clearly doing for only one of basically two reasons. The first one is raw self-aggrandizement. It's just, I want to rapidly promote myself. I don't think I'm getting enough screen time and clicks. I need to do something to draw lots of attention to myself. The other reason, equally basic, is that it is either an exertion or an act that they're undertaking simply to accumulate power. So they'll engage in this like wildly rhetorical, sometimes pretty facially ludicrous positions, or positions that really, if that was the adopted position of the government, would wreak real harm on people. And so it's one of my least favorite things. It's important that we call out both folks on the right and the left when they engage in this
what is at base most selfish behavior? Because performative politics is only about one person, the elected official, either feeding ego or just exercising power, trying to accumulate power for power's sake, not an advancement of any worthy policy goal. And today, we're seeing examples on the extreme ends of that spectrum. And the extreme ends of that spectrum are the most debased, self-serving politician ever imaginable that will say and do the most despicable things, so long as it, again, either makes the person look good, feeds ego, or acquires or leverages power simply for power's sake, not in pursuit of any higher ideal or goal. And at the other end of the spectrum is the public servant, is the elected official who will take a vote knowing that it may cost them their next election. But they take that vote and they vote for that thing, even though it may cost them their election, because they know that it will serve their constituents and the larger population of folks, if it happens to be a legislator, the larger body of folks within that jurisdiction that they serve. In other words, the very epitomes of selfless and selfish. And in the news, both today and yesterday, I thought there were prime examples. And I'm going to avoid talking about Donald Trump because he is clearly the poster child for the extreme selfish politician. Right? So here are the two examples. And if you want to join this conversation, 844-967-2789. That's my definition of what performative politics is and what it means. It's in pursuit of only two possible things. It's basically ego and power, often intertwined. So exhibit or example one today, the Milwaukee Common Council took a vote on a 2% sales tax. And it was either do the sales tax or don't do the sales tax. And so the answer to that question should be, well, what are the consequences, all else being equal, of either putting the sales tax on or not doing it? And to whom do those consequences acquire benefits or costs, right? On either side, because they're not neutral choices anymore. Right, it's either you're doing this or you're not doing this. It's as black as white as it can possibly get. There's no middle ground. There's no like, well, maybe we can figure out a different way to do it. Like, nope, that's it. Very rarely in government do you get a decision so clearly distilled into only two choices, with here measurable fiscal impacts. Yes, you have to do some projections of things. But for the sake of brevity and simplicity, I'll just put it to you this way. You do the sales tax and the city of Milwaukee continues to exist and function. It makes good on its promises to city employees for their retirement benefits. It continues to fund and provide reasonable benefits for current employees. And oh, it continues to pick up garbage and plow streets and test water. They may do it poorly, but they're doing it, see? Oh, the libraries. Yes, we've closed many of them, but the ones that are still open and standing, yeah, those stay open. The potholes. Yes, they're terrible. But between the number zero and some potholes corrected, I'd rather have some than zero. So yeah, the choice was pretty simple. Do the sales tax and the city of Milwaukee continues to exist. Don't do the sales tax and it's bankrupt. Garbage doesn't get picked up. Roads don't get plowed, and I don't mean don't get plowed for a day. I mean just don't get plowed, period. No one ever shows up. That kind of stuff. Libraries? Library, maybe. And absolutely zero local control. Because if you're going through a governmental bankruptcy, yes, someone else is calling the shot. It's called a receiver. So that was the choice. Now, of course, it wasn't survive and we guarantee we thrive. It's a vote to survive. And it's not just a vote to survive. It's a vote to survive while someone still has their boot on our neck. But survive nonetheless. And the vote to vote yes on the sales tax for many was extraordinarily difficult despite the simplicity of the financial equation. Because sales tax are also paid by poor people. And no doubt, this is not a great way for the city to avoid bankruptcy. In fact, it's probably one of the more problematic ways to do so. I could sit here and come up with 100 off the top of my head without any preparation, better ways that the state could have chosen to help save the city. But none of those were on the table today. And many of the policy provisions, yes, you can call them racist. I think a resident called it micromanaging by imbeciles. That would be a fair perspective. But nonetheless, 10 common council members, 12 common council members, 10 were needed. 12 common council members today voted for the sales tax. And I think we all need to give credit where credit is due. These aldermen and women were Jonathan Brostoff, Robert Bauman, Lamont Westmoreland, Khalif Rainey, Jocasta Zamaripa, Laressa Taylor, Michael Murphy, Mark Borkowski, Scott Spiker, Marina Dmitrievich, and Russell Stamper. So that's a model of some selfless elected officials. Those are costly, difficult votes. Some of them may not be elected again. In other words, that will be the last and most important political act of their entire political lives. And they deserve credit for that. But on the other end of the political performative spectrum is what is going on in literally every corner of the GOP. And today I just want to reiterate one of those things because I talked about it yesterday, and that is Senator Tommy Tuberville holding up military promotions, putting our national security at risk. And over the evening time, boy, did he step in it. So when being asked about military readiness, here's someone who's engaging in what he knows cannot stand long term, right? Like these people will eventually get confirmed in their appointments. He's literally trying to extort the Department of Defense into rescinding a paid time off and travel reimbursement policy for women seeking legal health services out of state in which they are based. Here's what he said. When asked if white nationalists are racists and if they're bad and shouldn't be in the military, when informed that white nationalists are indeed racists, Senator Tuberville said, "Well, that's your opinion." Yeah, performative. Disgusting. When we come back, I'm going to talk about how that's manifesting in the House of Representatives. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is The Maggie Dawn Show. Keep it locked here on Civic Media.
Does your financial strategy include your hopes and dreams? What matters most to you? For over 100 years, Thrivent has helped clients like you find financial solutions for life's important goals. Explore a full range of options, from financial advice and investments to insurance, banking, and generosity programs. To have a heart-to-heart about your finances, contact Mandy Roberts, who you may recognize as Mandy Wright. Call her at 715-470-1303. 715-470-1303. Mandy Roberts proudly serves the central Wisconsin area. For more details, visit therifeman.com/disclosure.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes, that's awesome.
Starting at 6 a.m., Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Grave Digger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dominic Crute. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on 540 AM WAUK.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed group.
It feels like they're trying to pit the teachers against the parents, and all of us can come together to say, look, stop trying to, you know, divide and conquer and work with us. And they're still trying to hide and say, well, the JFC cut it. There's nothing I can do. Yes, there is. You can vote for the amendment to continue child care counts.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Weekday mornings 6 till 8
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Overcast skies tonight with a chance for scattered storms. Lows dip down to about 59. Winds out of the east, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Scattered thunderstorms likely tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 71. Cloudy skies. Chance for scattered thunderstorms tomorrow night. Lows level off around 61. Cloudy skies expected. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 75 degrees.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup. At 12:15, Wisconsin Roundtable. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. On 540 AM WAUK. WMDX.
I wish I knew would feel to be free. I wish I could break all the chains holding me. I wish I could say all the things that I should say. Say them loud, say them clear for the whole round world to hear. I wish.
Welcome back, everybody. Evan, you give me a nod if you can hear me, and I'm doing well. Excellent. Welcome back, everybody. I am Maggie Dawn, and this is the Maggie Dawn Show. Join the conversation if you want to talk about sales tax and argue with me about the merits of that. Love to hear it. 844-967-2789. Some of you may know that I have a day job. I work for Milwaukee County. I'm their chief legal officer. I was in the county proceedings that were going on simultaneously to the city's common council hearing today, listening to questions from supervisors of the county board and then hearing public comment. It was really, really great to hear people engaging with the board. The county's process will continue. There'll be at least another public hearing. And the earliest the county would vote on a 0.4% sales tax would be July 27th. But anyways, I was talking about performative politics, giving props to each of the members of the Common Council today who took the hard vote to do perhaps what is not in their individual political best interests, but what they all knew is in the city's best interests. I would be remiss if I didn't say, you know, we're going to talk with Erica about taxes. And here we're talking about a sales tax, which a lot of people, I think, rightly criticize as regressive, right? Because a sales tax is a flat tax. Everybody, no matter what your income level is, pays it, pays the same rate. And so depending on the scope of exemptions from sales tax, it can be quite a burden on someone who is barely making ends meet. So the city and county, if the county passes it as well, need to do everything in our power to ameliorate that problem. But of course, right at the root here is to talk as if a 2% or 2.4% sales tax is the core of the taxation and working poor problem in this country is to sort of treat a pimple on a terminal cancer patient. Right? Like Yeah, not good either, but super not the fundamental problem or point. So I look forward to talking to Erica more about that. She'll be joining us at the bottom of the hour. But I was making the point that on the other end of the performative political spectrum, self-aggrandizement, not for any achievable policy objective, but simply for the act of sort of rabble-rousing your base and affirming your credentials. And boy, did Tommy Tuberville succeed to that mission, blocking all these military promotions. But that's what's going on in the Senate, and it is shameful and an absolute problem that apparently no one in the Senate seems capable of managing their own members because they won't get Tuberville to get out of the way. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, that being the House of Representatives of this U.S. Congress, they're having a little bit of problem with that old Freedom Caucus. So I just need to give you a bit of what happened before because most of us missed it. So the very week that the Trump indictment dropped and the subsequent week, this was right after the debt ceiling deal was announced. The House GOP Freedom Caucus basically staged a mutiny on the House floor. And what they refused to do is agree to, quote, House rules, which govern the order and how legislation is going to be argued on the House floor. And so because they refused to do that, not a single piece of legislation was introduced or debated by the House of Representatives for nearly 8 days. And that's pretty extraordinary because it hadn't happened for 21 years. That's how long ago. And so you've got these indicators that, you know, all is not right. And the core of the matter is that the Freedom Caucus is really mad because McCarthy, to get the speaker's chair, which remember that was 3 days of voting, had to promise them certain spending limit caps. But in the debt ceiling deal, the House Freedom Caucus members are claiming that he agreed to higher spending limits than what he had agreed to with the Freedom Caucus when he cut the deal with Biden, because Joe took him to the woodshed. So there's a bit of a dissension in the ranks here. Then we find out that MTG, who sided with McCarthy in the debt ceiling deal, we find that she got kicked out of the Freedom Caucus. So here's where we are. We now have the National Defense Authorization Act, which is like almost $1 trillion in Defense Department spending. It's this huge omnibus bill. It has to get passed. Now the Freedom Caucus is threatening to hold that bill up, to attach potentially thousands of amendments that address all of these distractionary culture war issues. So I want to paint a picture. Here's what's happening in the GOP. This is really bad because there's no clear out on the NDAA for McCarthy. Because if they agree and they put a lot of these amendments in and even one gets through, Democrats can tank bill adoption. Certainly wouldn't pass the Senate. So it's not good because you need the $1 trillion to fund defense spending. So you see how these culture war issues with Tuberville and the House GOP are intersecting, all about performative politics, not about the merits of the bill. So here's what we've got in this order. There was the fight over the chairmanship, the debt ceiling fight, the mutiny and standoff where they stopped House business for a week. MTG gets kicked out, and now they're going to stop the NDAA. You think we might have a government shutdown, folks? Yeah, that's the GOP putting your hard-earned tax dollars to work, and we're going to talk about those next with our good friend, Erica Payne from the Patriotic Millionaires. Keep it locked in. I see you on the line. Keep your questions coming in, 844-967-2789. I'm Maggie Dawn. We'll be back with more in a moment. Well,
I wish I could. This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News on 540 AM WAUK.
CBS News Brief. Flooding is still very bad in Vermont. Vermont's 13 swift water rescue teams have now performed more than 100 rescues throughout the state, and they remain extremely busy.
That's Jennifer Morrison with the State's Department of Public Safety, and the numbers are going up. People are still evacuating, and the focus is saving lives before she says they shift to recovery mode. A SWAT standoff is over at Caesar's Palace in Las Vegas, where a man had been holding a woman hostage in a hotel room for hours. KLAS-TV's Ryan Matthey is there.
Initial reports of shots being fired might have been mistaken from items being thrown outside of that hotel room, breaking the glass window, which landed in a nearby pool.
And years after her death, a jury in Detroit has validated a handwritten will found in Aretha Franklin's couch. Her son, Kekaf Franklin.
I think that it's a great thing. I think that she would be very happy that her wishes have been heard.
CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
For WAUK, The Shaw, I'm Terry Bell, and here's what you need to know. Milwaukee's getting a sales tax. The Common Council voted for the 2% sales tax this morning on a 12-3 vote. State lawmakers and the governor put the matter to elected leaders as part of the shared state revenue deal. The mayor's office says the tax could generate about $190 million a year. Meanwhile, the Milwaukee County Board today is holding a public hearing on its own proposed sales tax. The Waukesha Parade killer is sentenced in an unrelated case. Daryl Brooks took a plea deal yesterday for possessing a firearm as a convicted felon. He was originally charged with three felonies, accused of shooting at his nephew and his nephew's friend 3 years ago. Brooks is serving six consecutive life sentences for his attack on the Christmas parade in 2021. I'm Terry Bell, and this is WAUK News.
Living happily ever after isn't always a reality. If you're over 50 and are considering divorce, attorney Andrea Gage with the Everson Law Firm can provide the guidance you need. Andrea focuses on silver divorces, the kind that get more complicated over time and present unique challenges. A family, multiple properties, significant assets. Andrea and the team at Everson Law have the experience to protect your interests. Call Everson Law to set up an appointment with Andrea today. It's never too late to be happy. Everson Law, 920-435-3734.
Hey, this is Lindsay Kindert at 540 WAUK The Shaw. At Civic Media, we love our local communities and want to share your stories. Submit your local event and we'll let our listeners know. Email me, Lindsay Kindert, at info@civicmedia.us. That's info@civicmedia.us.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes, that's awesome.
Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Don McCrute. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show. On 540 AM WAUK.
Folks, I tell you this much, the Cripes Cast is just the butter on my cheese.
Cockroaches, not that bad. They call them palmetto bugs in South Carolina. Same thing, you can call them up here.
Are they really palmetto bugs?
Yes. Yeah, and they're a great source of protein. They're going to be the lobsters of the future.
They also got salmonella, and they can lay like 40 eggs at once.
Well, they gotta work out a few kinks there, okay? They gotta work out a few kinks.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
Welcome back, everybody. I am Maggie Dawn, and you are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Network. Don't forget to download that app, listen to us crystal clear, and contact me with just one push of a button. Couldn't be any simpler. But you can also call or text us the old-fashioned way, 844-967-2789. Really excited to be joined by my good friend and yours, Erica Payne of the Patriotic Millionaires. Welcome back, Erica.
Thank you.
Well, I'm just, since you're here and Dave from Mequon is on the line, we're going to see what Dave from Mequon, Dave, comment, question, whatever you got for us, please say hi to Erica.
Oh, thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Are you there, Dave? It's me, Margaret.
Hello?
I can't hear Dave.
I can't hear Dave either. Evan, is it just that we can't hear Dave, but you can hear Dave and everybody else can hear Dave?
I don't know. Who can hear Dave?
Well, it's not me and you.
I don't know.
Ah, the perils of live radio. We'll just keep it rolling. So sorry, Dave, we're having a little technical difficulties. If Evan gets it sorted out, we'd love to hear back from you. So welcome back, Erica. Really fun to have you again. And on the eve of such a great event, tell everybody what's going on.
Yes, we are so excited. So the Patriotic Millionaires are hosting a meet and greet tomorrow at the Phoenix Center in Richland Center. And it starts, doors open at 5. We've got a fabulous free dinner for everybody at 5:30. We're going to do a presentation about what this project is and what we hope people will do when they participate. And we'll talk a little bit about the economy. So this is the Great Economy launch event, Great Economy Project launch event in Richland Center, Wisconsin. It's our first location that we've done in Wisconsin. Morning Edition on NPR covered the project that we started a few weeks ago. And so we're really excited to come to your neck of the woods, Maggie, and talk to folks across the political spectrum about this crazy economy and how it's rigged against working people. And so we're inviting Republicans, Democrats, independents, and like the biggest constituency of all these days is can't stand any of them.
Yep.
Come on out and we'll give you $50 for your trouble for coming. We'll invite you to apply to the Great Economy Project. And if you're selected for the program, then you'll come to 5 sessions with us, get $50 for each one. We'll do prizes at the drawing. We'll do drawing for prizes, great prizes tomorrow night. And it should be really fun. Couple of hours of your day. Come see how the economy is rigged and what to do about it.
And those, if you're accepted into the Great Economy Project, you said they do a few sessions. And basically, the sessions are sharing information and having a discussion in a really interesting and engaging way, right?
That's right. I mean, listen, the Patriotic Millionaires have been around for about 13 years, and we've been working really hard with Democrats and Republicans to try to get the economy to a place where working people can have an easier time of it. I mean, right now, working people are working their tails off and not getting much return, and it's getting worse and worse and worse. And the wealthy people, a tiny number of them, are getting richer and richer. And we look at it and think this is a bipartisan problem. It's an American problem. It's not one political party or the other. You can certainly argue about which one you think is doing a better job, but face it, we've had lots of different political parties in charge over the last several years, and things for working people seem to stay about the same while things for the rich folks get, you know, do better and better and better. And Maggie, you were talking about a sales tax that y'all are talking about. This is one of the things that people don't understand about taxes, is that when you've got as messed up a system as we have on the federal level, it trickles down on the state level. So you end up having all kinds of problems in your state and local counties and things like that. And when states and localities need to raise money, the option is income tax, sales tax, or fees and fines. And it's easier to do fees and fines than it is to do a sales tax. It's easier to do a sales tax than it is to do an income tax, according to politicians. So if the wealthiest people in the country are not paying their fair share, your parking ticket's going to turn into a $100 parking ticket. Your speeding ticket's going to turn into a $200 speeding ticket. And, you know, that's where we are, and it's time to address it. It's not particularly complicated. And
yeah, the inequities in both sales taxes and fees and fines are so stark to me in so many ways. When you're just talking about what revenue generating options does a government have, and why have we evolved or devolved, as it were, into the place that we are? I mean, everybody can get their head around the idea that a $250 parking ticket that like ratchets up right at these nice regular intervals. So yeah, if you don't have cash on hand, you're punished, right? Can become a life-altering, jail sentence-serving inducing event for someone who is at acute economic risk and is housing and income secure, insecure. But that same $250 ticket for someone who is extraordinarily wealthy, they don't even bother to pay because they just have their accountant call the place once a year and pay them all with all the fees and fines. I mean, it doesn't make any sense.
Well, that's exactly right. But from a marketing place, it kind of makes sense to launch. That's because you can basically say, well, people shouldn't be speeding. And if they didn't speed, then they wouldn't have to pay this money. The issue is that exactly what you said, a ticket for one person is not the same as a ticket for another person. And the reason that we have all of the tickets and fees and fines and sales taxes that we need to generate revenue is because, broadly speaking, politicians of both parties don't want to tax their donors. And so they're not going to put a tax on the people who contribute to their campaigns. And the result, we work on taxes mostly on the federal level because the big umbrella structure that's holding this whole thing together is so skewed. But we've got a position right now where we've got, people like Elon Musk, the billionaire, paying basically no taxes and working people paying every bit of tax. We've got Amazon, who I don't know who drives more on America's streets than Amazon.
Right. Like one of the most basic infrastructure expenses for local governments, right?
Who drives on a road more? Do I drive more on a road with my one Subaru? We live walking distance to a metro, or do the Amazon drivers? So why is Amazon paying lower federal taxes than I am? There have been years when Amazon has literally paid zero taxes.
Paid
a dollar in taxes last year. You paid more to fix your roads than Amazon does. And this is, it's a silly way to run a country.
Yeah, it literally makes not a whit of sense, right? It doesn't square with anyone's common sense ideas of fairness.
That's exactly right. And
well, we'll just keep going.
Yeah. Well, and the only way to fix it is to look people to set aside the visions that they have on some social issues and focus on money. I mean, the fact is we live in a democratic capitalist society. The dominant driver of all decisions is money. And when you see a bunch of conversation around things that don't seem to have to do with money, you can rest assured that
they about the money
level have to do about money. And so what I and the Patriotic Millionaires believe is that working people need to get together, really understand how the economy is structured so that they can see how that then affects what they're making. And then let's just work to fix it. I mean, it's a relatively straightforward set of policy solutions. My child is hollering.
Hello, family. We like families here.
To jump on the radio with me.
She's welcome.
She's clearly as outraged by these fees and fines as I am. But anyway, so tomorrow night, 5 o'clock doors open, 5:30 we have dinner. Everybody who comes is going to get $50 just for showing up. The Patriotic Millionaires have a lot of money and they want to spend it getting
feeding you dinner.
So take advantage of it. You know what I'm saying? And we are really excited. I'll be there tomorrow. And then we've got sessions set up for several weeks coming up. We're going to talk about CEO pay, how these folks just are not worth what they're being paid. We're going to talk about the best and worst states in America to work in. We're going to talk about the basics of rigging the economy through a tax code. And we have some really interesting people coming in. So, I feel like just come on, join us. Don't overthink it.
Yeah, check it out.
Dinner, it's fun. We did it in Whiteville, North Carolina. I'm originally from North Carolina, so I wanted to start it there before I headed up to Wisconsin to see my northern friends. And so anyway, just come on out. It's going to be fun. We're going to have some of our members there coming and some folks from around Richland Center. And so it should be a great time. Do a little bowling. Come over, have supper.
All the good things. Supper with friends, a little information, and some bowling,
And the thing to understand, Maggie, is that you all, like Richland Center, has some of the most powerful people, some of the most powerful voters and constituents in the entire country. Yep. And this is the thing. We tried to pick places where the public debate was really, neck and neck, where we felt like working people needed to understand what was happening so that we can set aside some of this. The funding the police, not funding the police, like whatever people want to talk about on those social.
That's why Whiteville, right? And Richland Center, that's why these places were chosen, because those votes are power votes. Y'all have it in your hands.
That's exactly right. And so we're doing it. And then the third place that we'll go to in September is a place called Mount Pleasant, Pennsylvania. And what we're doing in each of these states is we're gathering a cross-partisan group of people, all ages, all different types of people across the political spectrum. And we're going to compensate them $50 a session to come for five different sessions. They can come for as many or as few as they want. Learn a little about the economy. We'll serve you dinner every time. We'll give you a little, some cash in your pocket for your trouble. And then we'll see if we can't do something about this. So tomorrow night is the meet and greet where we sort of lay out what the program's going to look like, what we're hoping from people. But mostly we want you to come hang out with us for a couple of hours and talk about the economy. We want to hear what you think about the economy. We want to tell you some of the things that we've learned in all of these years of working to fix it. And then in the meantime, we'll have some supper. We'll do some fun prizes. And it's pretty fun. I mean, it's fun.
Right.
So come on.
I've had moments, right, where I've had the opportunity to actually get somebody talking about some of this stuff, because it really does matter to all of us. And I think even though we may be very frustrated with government, right, and I'm done with it all, we want it to work well and we want it to work fairly. We want it to check with like a common sensibility, you know, right? Like, yes, that makes sense. And it should make sense. And this is the fundamental thing I like to say to anybody who thinks, well, I have to identify myself as a Republican or a Democrat. I said, whatever level of government or however much of it you think there should be, it's going to collect taxes, right? And it's going to run some programs, national defense and whatnot. We can argue about how government spends its money all day long. And no matter what size you want it to be, it should work well, right? For most of us, it should feel like it's working fairly too. And that, I hope, Erica, it sounds like is really at the root of what you're trying to say and approach in this very basic way. It should be fair. We should be able to hold it accountable, meaning government and the systems that it perpetuates.
Well, Maggie, I'll even go a step further. It just shouldn't be stupid. I mean,
you heard it here. I mean, government should not be stupid. I agree. Yes.
And the government shouldn't be stupid. The policymakers should try really hard to like use information instead of.
Well, wouldn't that be nifty?
That feeling or the force when they're making choices. But here's the fact of the matter. We have a tax system that values every single dollar a Wall Street investor makes more than every single dollar a working person makes. So even if you and a Wall Street investor make the same amount of money, they will end the year richer than you because the tax code gives a preferential treatment to the kind of money that they make. Now, the result of that and a whole bunch of other ridiculous things in the tax code is that we have an economic system that's going to guarantee that people in this country become even more unequal, even more quickly over time. We're at 100-year levels of inequality right now, and the whole country is about to fall apart. So I think of it as a game of economic Jenga. People keep on pulling the blocks out of the bottom and out of the middle, load them on the top, the whole thing's going to fall down. And the only thing that's going to make this thing work is if sensible people across the political aisle sit down and have some conversations about the one thing that is at the heart of a capitalist democracy, which is money. And the patriotic millionaires want to facilitate that conversation in Richland Center. So we hope people will come out tomorrow night and join us.
I sure do too. Thank you, Erica Payne. It's always a pleasure to have you. I hope you continue to grace us with your informed presence. It's my pleasure to have you. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show here on Civic Media. I've got some thoughts on some more lighthearted topics when we come back after the break. Keep it locked. Join the convo, 844-967-2789. Who could ever reach me? For the son of a preacher man. The only boy who could ever teach me. For the son of a preacher man. We recovered.
It's not just about the barrels in construction. Highway projects are community investments. So do your part. Stay alert, eliminate distractions, and mind your speed. Every driver makes a difference. Sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes, that's awesome.
Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dominic Crute. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on 540 AM WAUK. Okay.
today.
I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Lows level off around 59 tonight under overcast skies with a chance for scattered thunderstorms. East winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow. Scattered thunderstorms likely. High temperatures reach up to 71. Overcast skies tomorrow night. Chance for scattered thunderstorms. Lows level off around 61. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 75 degrees.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude on 540 AM WAUK. WMBX.
They paved paradise, put up a parking lot with a pink hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hot spot. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? They paved paradise, put up a parking lot.
Bad mood? No problem. Cue up a little. That's Joni Mitchell, right? Yeah. Hope I got. Whew, whew, don't embarrass yourself on live radio and get Miss Mitchell wrong. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Network. Call us, text us, 844-967-2789. I was just talking with our good friend Erica Payne about the tax system. It doesn't work. I mean, right? Doesn't work. We can start with that. It's sort of like the immigration system. Everyone agrees it's totally dysfunctional, yet no one can agree to do anything about it. But it's interesting. I think if you fix the tax code, you might actually be able to get some elected officials to do something about the immigration system problem, because maybe they wouldn't be bought and sold by the billionaire donor class. Perhaps. So I promised you some more lighthearted news. Lighthearted, probably not the right word. I have to be honest with you. Perhaps more, less depressing. It's now just a matter of like least worst. Which one to go with first? So I don't know if you heard about this, but apparently Donald Trump does not know what a blizzard is. Now, this may seem like a trivial matter to you. And yes, I am talking about a DQ blizzard, the place with the dilly bars and the frozen ice cream cakes ubiquitous throughout the upper Midwest. I mean, you don't know what a blizzard is? It's delicious, crumbled up like Heath bar. That was my jam back in the day. Boy, that was good. What was your favorite blizzard? He didn't know what it was. He was there and he's like, everybody keeps talking about these blizzards. Didn't know what it was. And I read about it on Twitter, and usually I don't talk about stuff that's this sort of infantile and silly. But it really got me thinking, because this is also the guy that like didn't know how to eat pizza. I mean, I always want some question in a debate to always be, how much does a gallon of milk cost? Right? Each person gets asked like a variety of that. They never know quite what product it might be. I suppose they could start prepping for that. But you get my point. Like, Donald Trump, no idea about normal people things. mean, I can tell you that much. Joe Biden knows about normal people things. Right? Like, objective question. Who is more likely to know what a gallon of milk costs? It's Joe Biden. It just is. Who's more likely to know what a freaking blizzard is? Answer, Joe Biden. That's just the deal. So I found an article in the Washington Post where a guy actually put together like a statistical analysis to try to figure out, his thought was, boy, shouldn't Donald Trump really know what a blizzard is? Because most people that live where blizzards are a big deal voted red, voted for Republicans. And it's called Can You Win the Midwest Without Knowing About Dairy Queen? Yesterday by a guy named Philip Bump. And it's interesting. Here was his conclusion. Counties with the highest density of stores per resident also voted much more heavily for Trump. Boom. Also, the states other than Illinois, where there are the most DQ locations, are also those that tend to be purple or red. And it's really interesting because Mr. Bump points out, and texter, I see this. I'm going to get to your text in just a second. What is the Donald Trump hook, right? It's like, oh, all those East Coast elites and those coastal, they don't care anything about you people in flyover country. Well, he doesn't know what a blizzard is. I don't know how much more clearly he can make the point that he might not know much or care much about folks in flyover country. Here's what Philip Bump said. It's a bit like walking into McDonald's and saying that you don't know what a Big Mac is. Yeah, pretty much. It's concerning. Yeah, out of touch. The least of Donald Trump's faults. But I just think it's yet another axis on which you can be like, Joe Biden or Donald Trump. Well, yeah, it's not a hard choice. Okay. A texter says the City of Milwaukee Employee Retirement Service is and has been underfunded for years. As a separate system from the rest of the state, we missed an opportunity to tie in with the state in 2021, but Mayor Barrett said no. So this has been brewing for years. I don't disagree with you. So the City of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County are the only two local jurisdictions in the state that have their own pension. Everybody else is part of the Wisconsin retirement system, which is basically, if not the best public retirement system in the country, one of. I mean, it's right up there. And basically, like, the math didn't work in the pensions. The benefits were too rich and too generous for far too long. And there were fewer and fewer employees because the city had to cut and cut and cut because share revenue was shrinking and shrinking and shrinking on a real dollar basis. So the pension plans became underfunded. And now they have to make these sort of mind-bendingly huge payments. That's how we got here. I would also argue that, you know, getting rid of the residency requirement, a lot of those things have impacted the city and county in a big way. But yeah, the pensions and failing to understand how to fund those, big deal. And let me be clear, but like 2% of current folks that work at the city or the county are beneficiaries that'll get those rich benefits. The rest of us are just working stiffs, you know, worried about my 401k. Yeah, that's me too. Here was the other little bit of good news. Thank you, texter. Appreciate that. Love it. Wonky in the weeds. That's my thing. All right. Last bit of good news for the day. I am big news. Super happy about this. July 6th, L. Lynn Wood resigns his law license in the state of Georgia, and he also agrees to the following terms. This is an unqualified, irrevocable, and permanent resignation of his license, and he agreed that he could not ever practice law again in any state. Yes, Lynn Wood. Goodbye to you, I say. Good day, sir. I mean, this guy. Oh, Bob Spindell, we're coming for you next. Jim Troupas, you're on the list. I'm Maggie Dawn. It's been another episode of the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Network. I'll be back again tomorrow with my good friend, Evan Preston. Thanks for listening, everybody. Put
out of the parking lot. Parking lot.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes, that's awesome.
Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Don McCrude. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on 540 AM WAUK.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.